Welcome everyone to the blessing call today, to the blessings of Christ, and for our time to be together for the next hour and a half. Love to be here today. I find it such a highlight of my week and such a privilege just to connect and to take whatever we learn today and to bring it into our lives in the big and the small, well, even the small things, right? You really need attention sometimes, and the little things that we pay attention to can really transform our world and matter and just our corner as well in our own lives. So welcome to the blessings of Christ. Happy July 5th. Hope you had a great day. Yesterday we sure did with family here, barbecuing, swimming, and big fireworks. So that was fun. Hope you had a great celebration as well, even if it was just a quiet time by yourself. So Linda might talk about that a little because we chatted just by texting yesterday, and she sure knows how to celebrate things just within the quietness of her heart, and just appreciate the wonderful memories and things that she's experienced in July 4th of the past. So glad that you're here. As I mentioned earlier, if you've just come onto the call, and if you're new, star 6, if you have a question at the end of every call, if there's time, we will open up the board, take a question, a comment, if you have something you learned, a blessing that was answered, and you just want to, you're just overflowing and you just got to let us know. We love to connect and love to hear from you. So feel free, star 6 and then star 1 to get you into the queue. And also welcome your family and friends, anybody you know. Hey, Sunday afternoon may be the perfect time for you to join us and just sit in your easy chair and tune in. We'd love to have them be part of our community. So welcome, 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 everybody. I don't see Glenda here yet, so maybe we'll just take a few seconds again to just be quiet still in our hearts. I just wanted to welcome you, and we'll just pause here for a minute. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua, for being with us today in our time together. And we feel your love and your presence among us and with us. So thank you. I'm not sure what we're going to be talking about today, but always looking forward to it. And always have a lot to take away, a lot to apply in my life. And we've had lots of changes in our life as y'all have followed me with our journey with our oldest daughter having her first child 3 weeks ago this past Thursday. And that was a big journey for them late in life, and lots of miscarriages, and everything happened, you know, as it should, and God's perfect order. And now we have little beautiful Jesse Eric, and he's just fantastic, gurgling and getting all the good stuff, and we're just getting to have time with him, and that's been wonderful. So shout out to all you grandparents out there, new and old. It's such a blessing, such a gift, and we are really soaking it up. So if you get the opportunity to spend time with those little nuggets, I hope you enjoy it as much as we do, because they're all different. They're all unique, and they all bring their own special love, which is fantastic. So once again, welcome to the blessings of Christ and to our call today. I'm going to look into our Q&A. We don't have anybody there now, so if something at the end just makes you want to queue in, go right ahead. I see Glenda just got on. So Glenda, we're here, and we're in record mode, and we're so excited.
Hello, everybody. Hey, is someone here from Fort Worth?
I don't know. I can't tell. This is Nancy, but...
Okay. I just heard you talking about that. And I thought, well, if you're jumping that rope, I'll just jump right in with you.
Yes.
But that's okay. That's okay. I'm glad to be here. It's a fantastic time of the year. It's a little hot. I prefer the spring, but that's okay. We can always dash indoors. And let's see. I am.
We're in record. We are good to go.
Okay, great. Nancy, thank you so much for being here promptly and welcoming everybody. I know they love it because they like it. They just like a few minutes talking to our beloved Nancy. And I know you're in a state of overwhelm today, as you are on every holiday Sunday, just because you are an heir of Abraham with an infinite kingdom of family. You have been blessed, so richly blessed, and I just love coming to visit you when that's possible. And thank you for being here with us.
My pleasure. Such a joy. Thank you.
Well, we've got a lot of info happening right now. And so it's probably good to wait just a little bit to start our recording. You know, I have been trying for 2 hours to get a handle on what we need to talk about today. You know, usually I can read the event with my heart, soul, Yeshua comes by, and I'm finding that there's so much celebration going on in this world, still carrying over from yesterday, and we're not finished with all the holiday joyful expressions that we could come up with. I couldn't be part of anything physically because there was almost nothing happening in Fort Worth. We were a quiet little sleepy town yesterday, so to get online and go to some of the great cosmopolitan centers, and, of course, Washington, D.C. above that, it's like it was a parade of happiness that was contagious. I just was mesmerized with the floats furnished by all the different states or special interest groups that just wanted to be part of a celebration. And the happiness among people, I mean, that's a good thing to experience, just being connected to that much happiness and also seeing it expressed in so many diverse ways. You know, we think about the diversity of our universe, and of course we know it's there ever since we began studying the solar system and the Milky Way in college. You know, we came to understand how much diversity is part of this environment we live in. And I just love seeing it on a human level with everybody getting along. As far as I could see, you know, there might have been a few unhappy people, but I don't think so. Not for what was on display. That was the happiest time I have seen in a long, long time. And it made me happy, even though I just sat here quietly and vicariously inhaled everything they were doing. And I remembered going through this, I remembered the bicentennial. That would be the 200th birthday that happened 50 years ago. I was an active part of that in my little local town. Actually, I was I led the parade with my horse and flag. The parade started about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We went through the town, and we had lots of floats too, but nothing like yesterday. Our local special interest just wanted to dance. And, of course, we had bands, marching bands, and We had our cheerleaders actually dancing in the streets because, you know, there were no teams playing. So they take and people doing special performances with their musical instrument. And it was just, it was grand to remember. And I got to be one of three speakers celebrating the day 50 years ago. The number one was our representative to the U.S. Congress, had been our representative for 25 years. And so we just wanted to get a summary from him, give him a few times, maybe 20 minutes to address the audience with all the pleasures and benefits that he has been part of in his years of service. And we had a special guest from Larry Hagman. You might have remembered him for the several TV shows he was in. Long ago, see, he was born in my little hometown. His mother was Mary Martin, famous movie star, was born there. So there was the movie legend that got to speak. There was the service to Congress message that we got. And then little Glenda Green got to give her tribute to this town and her experience with heroes and politically prominent people that I got to paint when they were in, well, not that they, many of the heroes were past, but I got to paint so many American heroes and leaders. And I was inducted into the National Gallery in Washington, D.C. for my paintings of these great Americans and heroes. So I got to tell about that, you know, and nothing would be relevant for me today, but I got to have a part in it then. And I thought about how wonderful it would be for each one of you in your own way, for your moments of success, to remember them as we go through this, because in the 250 years we've been here, we've all had great moments. And you should be celebrating all of your great moments. And it doesn't matter if there have been some down moments. We all have that. That's life. But the fact that we can come back and have our great moments, the fact that we can serve one another, one of the best things I saw celebrated just in the parade was a float dedicated to our first responders, and then commemorative speeches about the importance of our volunteers in this country, that we give so much. You know, in other countries, it may be distributed a little more broadly, but we've got volunteers. We give. We are the most giving nation on earth. And I got to hear interviews with athletes from the World Cup who were being asked, what have you enjoyed the most about being here? And almost consistently across the board was discovering, these were their words, discovering how amazing and wonderful this country is. And some of them went on to say, we're being told in Europe that this country is dying. And we're discovering it's more alive than it ever was. Well, that's what I felt. And I just wanted to pass on to you because we share, because we give, because we honor, because we love, we're growing. And I loved the growth.
I love seeing it. I love seeing the happiness. You know, this is something that we should show one another more often than we have. But it was a superb day for just witnessing that. And so I wish you a continuing blessing and more happiness in your life, abundant, overflowing happiness and prosperity. And more than anything else, a realization that even if you have a downfall, you got the help of everybody else to pull you back up. And we are a God celebrating nation. We know that our God, who is the God of everyone who created us all, is here to help us win, because it is his joy and pleasure that we win and that we unite in this country, but also through the world. There is so much we can bring to each other. And just to think about that, or have just occasions that remind us about that, are absolutely precious. They're absolutely precious. And, you know, we're talking about, for the last 4 weeks, we have been talking about faith. And, you know, everything I was watching yesterday, I could see, is the product of faith. People who came here, centuries ago, much more than 250, they came here on faith. The signers of the Declaration did so on faith. They didn't know what would come. They knew one thing that would come from it would be a war. They knew that, but they had the faith that we would be protected, that we would be vigilant, that we would support one another, and that we would be worth it. You know, you got to have faith in yourself. God has faith in you, but sometimes we undermine that faith by not believing in ourselves. Yeshua gave us a prayer. Well, I'm sure he gave the apostles many prayers, but one that is iconic, that is signatory to his message and everything he came to help us through, the one we call the Lord's Prayer. And then he gave the apostles even further instructions about how to pray or implement the prayer. And one of the things that he emphasized the most is asking. You have to ask. And I want to develop that a little bit. It's important to ask, but not to be beggars. Not to be beggars, but to be united. The one who created you, me, everybody, is still here. He didn't go away to some distant outside realm beyond the universe he created. He's right here, right now. He simply finished with the creation that could be described mathematically, physically, materially. We call this the quantifiable universe, because it can be weighed or measured, and it's all mathematical. And if you can't confirm it mathematically, chances are it's a personal fantasy. But that doesn't mean that doesn't mean it's not real. There are other dimensions to existence. The one that comes from the void of material, but not the void of love, not the void of celestial power, not a void of God. And it envelops us as surely as the material world envelops us. We were born into a place. We grew into adulthood in that place. And then we were coached and expected to go find our place in the world, where we would form a family, friends, work, reasons for contributing, and places to build in this dimension we call the world. And God kind of left that part blank when he created us, because he expected us to go out and create the world. And I'm using parentheses when I say that, because God created all of nature, all of physical existence, all of the chemicals, all of the chemical chart, all of the aspects of physics that we study in even in quantum physics. But there's a place beyond that. And that place beyond that is also in us. It's in us. It's with us. But most of the time, we don't notice, because our attention goes to the desk we sit in, the kitchen we prepare our meals in, the car we drive, and the bank account that either does or does not have any money in it. When we're doing things in the world, we go to these measurable things, and we fail to realize that the non-measurable, the insubstantial, which physics cannot write numbers for, is here. The reason we're told to ask is to establish a connection right here and now, giving our attention to the one who created us. He's here. Say hello. Okay? That's why we ask. That's why we praise. That's why we honor. And the prayer opens with, "Our Father, who is in heaven." But so many people think that means who is far away. Yeshua He corrected that with the apostles. He said, "You think heaven is out on the horizon or somewhere else far away?" No. And he says, "No, heaven is within you." And he wasn't just talking about the Sacred Heart. He was talking about the rest of all existence, to which everything material comprises about 1%. And all the rest of it is here. And by the grace of God, all the rest of it can be converted into material. Now, this is what the physicists cannot, well, they can't go that far, because they're bounded by mathematics, which is numbers. Okay, and they just can't go further, but you can. You are a child of God. Seek first peace. Just seek peace, and you will find the rest. The rest of everything here. Ask, and you will be given. Knock, and the door will open. So it's about you putting your attention in another dimension so that in your conversations with your Creator, your Father, you can be with the one who loves you, who wants to be with you. You think he's gone away. No, he hasn't gone. He hasn't gone anywhere away. And I won't use any scale of measurement because then we'd be back in the world. And that's what's causing the problem, is that we're locked in the world and we never have enough opportunity, enough money, enough friends. Our car's breaking down. We don't know what we want to eat for dinner. It's all the material world. And there's limitations there, or at least there appear to be. Up to a point, yes, there are. But from literally thin air, more can be presented. Yeshua demonstrated this with the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. Where did he pull those from? He didn't tell the fish to lay eggs and hatch more fish. And then we'd have to wait for those fish to become grown a little bit and substantial enough to eat. Well, there's not enough time for that. He just pulled them out of the ethers, and there they were. Now, who can do that? See, this is how we know the degree of his sacredness. How did he pull new flesh and blood from the tomb? He pulled it from the place where he's been living since the universe was created. That part of the universe that remembers him perfectly and can refurnish him with everything he needs to walk out of the tomb and go be with his loved ones and have his final teaching before he goes back into this unquantifiable, infinite place of everything. Well, so we have to ask, because that place is here. And I'm very reluctant to ask also, because I think about how much poverty that there is in the world. And even if I live on the thin edge of what I need, God will hear my prayer or others. And I'll get by, because that's part of what faith teaches us, that the tiniest amount is enough. We see this in the parable of the widow's mite. People are in the synagogue, and they're being asked to contribute. And all she had was a mite to live on. That's all she had. And yes, and she said, but I wouldn't be worthy to give. And Yeshua said, he used that as an illustration of faith. And he said, if you had so much faith as this mite you hold in your hand, you could say to the mountain, come, and it will come. You see, the thing we don't get is that if we had the world, all the riches of Solomon, it wouldn't be much more than the widow's mite compared to infinite possibility. If we owned everything on this planet, it would still be nothing compared to infinite possibility. And the only thing that will activate that infinite possibility is our faith. That this is what I want to close our study with. We've been through this now. This is the fifth week. Faith is our connection to God on the other side. Asking and prayer is our connection with God on this side. He's always with us, so we can pray. We can get up in the morning and say, what a beautiful day. Thank you, Daddy. I'm going to have a great day with you. And he stays here with us. We don't have to ask for any more because he's actually given us a universe that works. We just have to go apply it. And that's where we could go into the parable of the talents. The talents were not what we call talents today. They were measurements of coins, wealth. And it doesn't take much. You just have to do the right thing with them, and that's the key. He's given us everything that works. Sometimes we get down to where we don't have enough left, and we have to ask. That's okay, but we don't like to ask because we like to think that we're imposing upon God, are imposing upon others by asking, and we're not. We're just dancing to the music of everything in every way it could be conducted, every way that it could be conducted. And so we find ourselves in what looks like a scarcity. And Yeshua taught us there is no scarcity, only scarcity of your faith, only scarcity of your belief, only scarcity of the belief you have in yourself and in God. There is no scarcity of creation. And you know, we have different ways of learning about that, and I don't like it when I have to reach out and ask, but I'm going to have to ask for help today, for our church and for me, because he wouldn't have allowed me to get to this position if I didn't need to make it part of the message. But before I go any further, I want to say that nobody ever, ever will be asked to pay for a blessing. His blessings are from him. They're not even a gift from me. I'm just delighted and personally blessed to be a conveyor, a connection, a connecting wire that allows you to have your connection and him to spill over his graciousness. Okay, here's what I want to ask, because we really need to, and we should not be stopped in our work just to try to get over this hurdle with going through some kind of external measurement that is unnecessary. Our church was severely attacked in the month of May. We were not just hacked in the sense of someone putting through a fraudulent credit card. That could happen to any company, anytime. We were hit with 12,000 bogus charges. More than our merchant services could deal with. More than we could deal with. And by law, I was supposed to personally address each one of those, which was impossible. I tried. I actually tried and got it to about a count of 2,000. And then I called for help, legal help, who could give me the method by which every charge in there it was possible by the law to just disallow everything. But I was reluctant to do it because I might be disallowing real charges, real purchases that I would not be able to deliver. But to make it fully legal, all of those charges were refunded. So everybody got their money back. I knew nothing about it. I couldn't be part of it. And the scar upon our store, and it affected all four of our websites. It brought them all down and labeled them all as insecure, so people got really scared to come near us. Over a period of now about 2 months, we have probably made 2 small sales. That's it. No income to the church, and a lot of collateral damage in terms of the faith people have in our security. Our webmaster told me about a type of attack that's being done toward, well, generally speaking, right now it would be mostly through Christian organizations. They were really angry that they felt that a Christian nation was holding tight upon the Middle East. And so lots of Christian organizations, churches, and businesses got hit. According to what the webmaster told me, he said, by doing such a massive hit, what they're creating is called void of function, to bring you down to where you won't be able to function without creating all new websites, which we had to do. This is what cleaned out our bank account. We had to create 4 new websites. And then, of course, so many people did not have the addresses to those websites. And we've been slowly recovering for almost 3 months now. And we are back in service. But it cost us a lot. And during those 3 months, I had some new health challenges to also deal with. So I'm sure that I was cursed in spirit by those who just simply hate who we are and what we do in the world. But we didn't let us stop it. We did what we needed to do to get back up, because nobody stops the Lord of life. Nobody stops God. And we take our hits if we have to have them. And certainly the early Christians took a lot of hits. A lot of them went to the lion's den, but they never stopped singing. And that's the way I felt. Well, okay, if this is where I go, this is where I go. But we would love to have a little more grace in our recovery. And for those of you who would like to be a first responder to us, we would very, very much appreciate a donation, a contribution. And we know that we'll be back functioning. And one other thing that came out of this time that coincided with me having a new health crisis, and by the way, I'm on the other side of it, but I had to go through it, is I thought, what a wonderful webinar we could have. Now, this will have to be a very dedicated time of study over probably 4 weeks. The healing, and I was going to call it the Healing Codes of Jesus. We'll call it Jesus because we want to reach out to everyone who loves him, not just the people who respect his original name. And it doesn't matter, because it's his true spirit that is the name. He is Emmanuel, Lord of Life. El means God. And he is the Son of God, Emmanuel. That is probably the name we will call him by when the kingdom of heaven is perfectly in place. but I still love to call him Yeshua. My Texas accent isn't quite the accurate. It should be Yeshua. And there's a reason why it's pronounced that way. We'll go into that another time. But Jesus is just fine. Absolutely fine. In fact, I want to say something special about that name and why it is special and why it's loved by so many people. From the time he was walking on the earth through all the centuries that he guided the evangelists and the saints and the teachers and the development of churches, he was referred to in Greek or Latin, which no one that among common people could speak. The only ones who could speak it would be the priest and the priest of the many churches that were being organized. And it was a very sacred, I am looking for the word, there's a word more than sacred. It was actually secret because the priests were the only ones who could read the Bible, which was in Latin, for heaven's sake. And all of the services were in Latin. And it was so exclusive that when the blessing of the Eucharist was performed, the priest would face the altar, and on their robes was a cross that faced the audience. And they truly believed that all the audience needed to do was to pray for redemption, facing the cross. And the priest would face the altar, and the priest would prepare the sacrament of redemption and salvation. Well, arising about that same time in place, in the 1200s, were a lot of ministers who were evangelist teachers, not members of the church clergy, but outside the clergy. They were teaching people in their own language. In other words, they would read in Latin and convert it to French, German, English. They wanted people to hear it in their own languages. That, to me, is a really big deal, a big step forward. And something else was happening. Something else. Very big deal. The printing press was being invented. And translators of the Bible were going to print the first Bible in English. And it would be distributed for people to read. And they won't all be able to read it because illiteracy was the number, was very high. But the ones who could read it could then tell a congregation in their own language. Now, there was one thing that stumped them, and that is the name of Yeshua, it was Yeshua, and that was in Greek. And then there was the Latin translation. And so the translator said, well, what are we going to do? And they said, let's translate his name into English. And they did. And his name was Jesus. There had never before in any of the ancient languages been a hard J. Even what we call Yeshua, it's a soft J. It's not a hard J. What we call Jehovah was Yahweh. There were no hard J's in any language, not in Greek, not in Latin, not in Aramaic or Samaritan, no hard J's. And so, well, England was also in a war with the Roman Catholic Church, and they wanted to create their own church, the Church of England, which stands to this day. And they created that Bible to accompany the creation of the Church of England and the name Jesus. Now, for me, symbolically, other people may not agree with me. That's okay. I'm just sharing with you what I think. I think Jesus was the name the translators and the new church creators, that was their way to democratize Christianity. That was the name they wanted to give to the world. From that moment on, yeah, they still offered the Eucharist, but the priest faced the congregation. They didn't turn their back to the congregation. It was no longer private. They gave his message to the world. And to me, that was an enormous turning point. And I believe he honors the name Jesus because that's what it means. That's what it says. And it's okay if you want, in fact, if I'm talking to, if let's say I'm invited to talk to a Baptist church, I'll walk in and I'll say, by the name of and the peace of Jesus, I am here. I don't use I use Yeshua in my private conversations with him, in my conversations with you, because you know his name. And I think it gives a special form of intimacy, family intimacy, brotherhood. So I love it, but I love every name. And his name has now been translated into every language on earth. And I cherish them all. And I cherish what they mean, because it means he's there for them. He didn't have a limited audience. He just had a starting place. That was it. For everything, there's a starting place. And that even goes for God's creation of the universe. Before there was anything, he said, let there be light. Light was his starting place for creating. So it's okay that there are starting places. Jesus was not the starting place. That's the name that was the first evangelistic acknowledgement that he is here for everybody. And then it grew. And it grew, and it grew. And how many names will it embrace? Who knows? Who knows? But we're going to celebrate him in all the names, and then he'll let us know what his ultimate name will be. It's actually said in the book of Revelation. It hasn't been revealed yet. So we'll wait on that one. But his spirit is here with us. And we ask for his blessing. and his blessing is from him. I'm just knocking on the door for you. And the other blessing givers will knock on the door for you. And for those who can see fit, I want to thank you for knocking on the door for your church and for its ministry and its minister, because we're doing, we're giving everything we have and doing our best, and it will be enough. If he could magnify two loaves and fishes, he can certainly do this. But I'd like to think that you're part of it too. Your spirit of generosity, your spirit of faith, your spirit of love is what's making everything blossom in your part of the world, because we honor you. This shouldn't just be one person or a few people. It should be everybody, because it's going to be our heaven on earth, our kingdom with God, and our salvation. That what wasn't right with the world we created will be made right. What will be limited will be turned into that which is eternal. Because God, you see, this is what I want to say. And it's so important, and I'm sorry it's taking so long, but this is so important. When he created the sixth day, he was finished with everything he had his own expectation for. And it works perfectly, just as he scripted it. But when he created his children, he wanted us to have a hand in it. So he stepped back and he said, okay, kids, do your best. And a lot of us did our best. A lot of people through the ages did our best. And at times, collectively speaking, the heroes did their best and the rest needed to start over again. But he was still ready to renew and said, okay, let's do it again, kids, and see if we can do it better this time. And you know what? That was all. See, he didn't scrub out our world that we created. He let it be created again, and he had faith in us that we could do better. That was his honor of us. He honored us by letting us contribute. He didn't just step in, okay, and say, well, I know now you couldn't do it, so I'll just do it for you. Uh-uh. That's not what he did. He said, you get a new chance. And I know you'll do better this time. I know you will. And to close, I've mentioned this a few times before, but I didn't say it all. I didn't put everything in it. That's the parable of the prodigal son. This overly arrogant, entitled young man who thought, oh, Dad's just an old fogey. He's not seeing things the new way. And he went to Dad and he said, Dad, I'd like to have my inheritance up front now, because I want to go out to the world and I want to show everybody what I can do. I got this. Just give me my money and let me go. And his father tried to talk him out, and he said, well, I don't know, son. I worry about you. But he let him go. And he really did let him go. And the sons who stayed were creating a beautiful kingdom, beautiful estate, And the father just forgave his younger son for leaving and saying, I can do better. But he never forgot him. He never forgot him. And sometimes, or frequently, I don't know, that I don't think the Bible says comments on that, but he would look toward the horizon to see if his son was maybe coming home. He never did. Well, one day, he saw this figure emerging off of the distant horizon, beyond hills and valleys, and he knew it was his son. And as he got closer, he could see that his son was alone in rags. And the love welled up in his father's heart, his soul, his mind. And he ran out. Now, this is what I want you to really understand and listen to. The father ran out over the hills to embrace his son and welcome him home. Now, in those days, first of all, you got to remember, his father was very elderly at that point. And in those days, according to Jewish law, the elders did not run. The elders were the pillar of principle, the pillar of righteousness, the pillars of government, the pillars of the community. They did not run. Only the young people, the babies or the young people, or the people trying to still figure life out, ran. Only people who ran out of fear from emergency, a fire, an invasion, something that was unfit to be part of. Only the young people ran. But the father ran. Now, in order to run and not fall, he would have to lift up the skirts of his garment, exposing his legs, his elderly legs, and his shoes. And that was ignominious. That was something that just could not happen. But he didn't care. He would humble himself to reach out and embrace his son and bring him back home. And what I want you to get from that is your importance to the Father. That God would humiliate himself to reach out for you. You don't have to get yourself ready. You don't have to. Just pray and expect. Share and expect. Do what you can and expect that you will be met more than halfway. Because this sixth day of creation was given to us to show our Father what we could do. He honored us with a gift. And you want to know what Satan said to God? He'd been sort of like an observer, a snoopy kind of guy. You know, the kind of guy that looks over things and says, oh, that won't work. No, he said to God, he says, you fool. Why would you give the last stage of creation to someone so frail, so ignorant, so disrespectful? Why would you give the last day of creation to them? And God said, because I believe in them. because I created them in my image. You see, here's the secret. Here's the cherry on the cake. God Almighty created the first day. But a lot happened after that. A lot emerged after that. And it was time to close out creation. He couldn't close out creation because he was the creator. If he touched the last day, it would just keep on creating. So he created children that he believed in, that were blank slates initially, and made like unto his own image. I'll give you that to think about for a minute. It doesn't matter that we're imperfect. It matters that we were called to do the job. And even if we're imperfect in it, we were called to try. And we will be met more than halfway. And there's a reward, a big reward. We're going to be in heaven on earth. We don't have to go somewhere else. We're home, and home will be perfect. And that is closing the door on creation. Asking is really as simple as saying hello to the one who trusted you, the one who believes in you, and the one who will always be with you. And until this creation is done, he will be here with you. There's not going to be any other intermediate step, such as World War III. That's going to wipe out the planet. Not going to be here. Not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. He'll let us try and try again and do our best and do his part, and it will be getting better. I was so thrilled and amazed to see the joy that was being poured out all over this country, compared to a relatively sleepy country that was trying its best, honoring its citizens, having parades, yeah, but nothing compared to this. What has happened in 50 years could shake gold out of the mountains. And I thought, okay, we're not going to think about what bad could happen. God is here with us, and he's going to be with us, and he's going to be with us until heaven comes to earth. In the meantime, you might be thinking, well, where did all the saints go? Where did my ancestors go? We prayed that we'd go to heaven. Well, they're in a great place. They're in a great place, being held in joyous space, waiting for the end to come. And they'll be here too. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Do you think for a minute that our ancestors didn't love this planet as much as you do? Of course they did. Do you think the joy will not be universal? And I got another little cherry to put on that cake for you. You might be thinking, well, this is a huge universe. Why is he doing this on a little planet out of the edge of nowhere? Why? Because by believing in us, the miracle will extend everywhere. And that's why so many UFOs have been spotted. They want a 50-yard line seat. They're not going to be invaders. They want to send messages back to their world like, wow, it's happening. It's happening. Let's get home fast. Sure. I know there's life in other planets. Yeshua said, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I got to go prepare a place for them too. For you and for them and for all of us. This is just, why would he create the last day, the miraculous day of creation, on a little frontier planet, way out in nowhere? Because in order to demonstrate his faith in us, he had to choose the least among us. He had to give his son to the least among us. So don't think for a minute that you're not important. You are. You are important more than you ever could think. And you're going to be celebrated. So just get ready. And sure, we may have to die a few times before the end comes, but you're not going to die forever. You're going to be eternal, and you're going to live in the kingdom of heaven. And you're just here to be a worker. And a pleasure to the Lord. And if you think for a minute he doesn't love his kids, just think. Remember the parable of the prodigal son. And instead of focusing on the son who failed temporarily, of course, put your attention on the father and see what that does for you. Okay. Well, we have gone a long time today, but it was a very, very important message because we happen to be in a little unique weekend of time where we are celebrating our living together and what we can do as one people working together. And I just wanted to take it up a notch so that we can see. It's not just a national holiday. It's a holiday for the whole world. And we take it above that. It's a holiday for the whole universe. For all to be glorified in. For God took us as his children. So before the day is over today, say hello to your daddy, all right? He's right there with you. He's proud of you. And he doesn't care if you he cares because he doesn't want you to suffer. But just because you failed doesn't mean he's going to separate from you. What did Yeshua do on the cross? The sinner was right there beside him, and he didn't even see the sins. He just said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't think, you know, I got to go and teach you first. I got to heal you first. I got to take away all the sins first before I can even touch you. He didn't have to because he was in the place of eternal, sacred living. And he just says, come on. We'll both be in paradise today. Okay. Well, Nancy, we are going to turn this over to you and your lovely voice.
Okay. Well, Glenda, that was beautiful. And we're all here for you. I just want you to know that. And I know our community is going to step up and help, and I'm glad you asked. And you brought it together in such a beautiful way. And you always teach us so much. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you brought up in my heart today. And everything. I'm going to read more about the prodigal son because I feel like I've probably been every one of those characters in one time in my life, right?
The father, you know, the son. We memorize these things, and then we don't see the little passages we overlook.
Right, right. There's so much depth there, really. But but thank you, and community, I hope you could hear her beautiful message today in the call for our support. We do have one caller. Let me open the line. Hello, caller.
Oh, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Linda and hello, can you hear me?
Hi,
yes,
is it Steven?
We can.
Oh, yeah, this is Steven Adler. Yeah, thank you so much for your message, Glenda. You always bring such incredible depth and insights to the messages of the Bible and the messages of Yeshua. It's always so profound. So I just want to say thanks. And I'm just requesting a blessing for myself and my wife, Samantha. We've been going through it's been about 2 years now, 2 year process of applying for immigration for her for permanent resident green card, and we're at the point now where she's going to be on Tuesday meeting with a special medical doctor who does medical exams and all that sort of stuff in London to make sure that, you know, she's healthy enough to come to the United States and all that. And so, my wife, she gets very nervous in front of government officials.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, she is just... really, bless her heart. I mean, she's just like, she's one of the most innocent souls I've ever known. Anyway, she gets very rattled and nervous in front of, you know, certain people who, you know, drill questions and all this sort of stuff. So, and then, you know, on top of that, we're going to be applying for a waiver of all the necessary vaccinations that are required to immigrate to the United States, and that's a whole nother process that will be subsequently endured. Hopefully they'll honor our request for a waiver based on religious grounds. That's the only way that really they would probably allow us to come, is on a religious basis. Anyway, so and then after that, medical, and in a couple more weeks, she'll have an actual interview with the consulate. I guess it's that U.S. Embassy or consulate in London. But so just in her travels and her nervousness and stuff, I'm just requesting a blessing that she's, you know, surrounded with peace and love in her heart and faith, that this whole process will be over soon and successful, and that's really it.
Well, oh, we sure will, and I just want to remind you that she has a wonderful husband, and that she can draw strength from you, because I know you're giving it to her all the time. And don't forget that you are a priest in this church. If you need anything written from me confirming our stance on medicine, please let me know.
Oh, I really appreciate that, Glenda. Yeah, I mean, offline I'll reach out to you about that. You're still at Glenda Green at Gmail. Is that still your email?
I sure am.
Okay, all right.
That's my forever email.
Okay, all right. All right, yeah, I really appreciate that. That's so kind of you. I'll reach out to you separately on that note. I'm just so blessed to be a part of this community, and it's just been tough times, right? With what you described, I was just like in tears just about. I was unaware of all those difficult situations that you've been going through, Glenda. I'm so sorry to hear that, and I'm sure God has got our backs. So, yeah.
Oh, he's always at our back, but sometimes he lets us go through things because we are supposed to discover our strength in doing so. And sometimes our greatest strength is the humility that goes along with asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's not easy.
That's always been a difficult thing for myself, I'll tell you that. That's true.
For
really
almost
is.
All of us.
Yeah.
Okay, my dear. Well, she has my love, and I know what she's going through. It's scary. It really is scary, but she's got you by her side and the Lord at her back, so she'll do fine.
She just has to show up
and make herself available.
Yep, she's gonna do that. She's, and there's been times where she's almost felt like she didn't want to go through with it all because it was just too nerve wracking and at times I've told her, look, if it comes to that, you know, maybe I'll make the reverse move and immigrate to England instead, you know, so it's nothing set in stone, you know, but we're just moving forward.
That is true love. That is true love, and I congratulate you for having such a loving marriage.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, we just want to be together, and ultimately we don't really care where
we do, and you belong together.
Yeah, we don't okay. really care where on the planet it is. So, yeah, anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you so much, Glenda.
Thank you, Stephen. Bye-bye. We love you, and blessings to you. We have one more caller, Caroline. Hi there.
Hello, Caroline. Oh, can you? Hi. So sorry to hear about the hacking. Sounds like it's coming probably what from the Middle East of a Christian site. And
it probably is.
Yeah. And I would be very honored to be able to contribute. Presumably, you have a website now that has a link for donations that work.
Yes, we do.
Okay,
our store has a link, and if for any of you who like to go and listen to pre-recorded messages, there's a link on that site too. So we've got you covered.
Great, and I was also very sorry to hear that Stephen and his lady are having issues with immigration. I do know a very good and very honest immigration lawyer. I don't know what they're probably past that period. Who even gives a very helpful consult at no charge at the beginning. So if Stephen, if you're interested in connecting that way, I would be glad to pass him on to you. I went through that process to immigrate, but that was a long time ago, and they didn't insist on. The only thing I needed was a chest x-ray to make sure I didn't have TB, but now I don't know what they require. So yeah, I hope that she can get through without those toxic vaccines. So yeah, I mean that's mainly what I wanted to say. I also wanted to mention that Larry Hagman he's a man of service. Is he still living? I can't remember whether he's still living or not. But no, he died some time back, right? As far as I can.
Right.
Yeah, but he was very much involved in a charity that gave electric power to third world countries. That was his thing. He was really into solar power and was a leading light in this organization called SELF, which was about solar electricity. I had a friend who worked there, and he was putting all the solar panels up in areas that had never had electricity before. And he said he kept getting marriage proposals wherever he went for giving these areas electricity. So I was thinking about that when you mentioned Larry Hagman at the 50 years ago at your 200th anniversary of America Parade. So that's great. So that's about it. I'm still marching through this mess with my neighbors who really have been not very pleasant about this tree trimming thing and have been increasing the gap, the privacy gap that they were complaining about to try to claim more money. But I've got legal help now, but I was hoping to be able to deal with this without legal help, but it doesn't look like that's the case. So some blessings with that to go in a way that basically is in the best interest of everybody involved. So that's really it. And blessings to you,
that's
Glenda.
Great.
Blessings to the church.
Oh,
and blessings
to, hear from you,
Stephen,
Caroline.
And his wife. Yeah. Okay. And Stephen, if you do want to get in touch, through Glenda, I'd be happy for you to give Stephen my contact information.
I'll give him your number.
Yeah. I think he also lives in Fairfax, California, where I used to live before I moved to Hawaii. So lots of commonality there. So so that's really it. Don't want to take up any more of the time here on the call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline. God bless you.
God bless.
Yeah. Okay,
well,
Glenda, we are our board
right.
is clear.
Yeah, I think we need to get into we're at 4:25. We're going to do a miniaturized stretch and breathe. Just in your own way, while I'm talking, stretch your legs. Stand up if you can. If you can't, sit up and turn your torso left, right. Get things moving to the best you can. Raise your arm. Just make a little angel wing over your head and then down to your side. And you create those angel wings. Yeah, there you go. Now forward and then up and forward and back. Up and back, down and forward. And lift your legs. You can do that even if you're in bed. Just lift them as far as you can. Even if it's just a little bit, or get some help moving them. You know, this is the reason for this is to just get things flowing. This is not Pilates. This is not yoga. We're just getting things moving, because in the field of reality, everything moves all the time. Everything changes all the time, and you will be blessed today inside of your need for change. And let's face it, your request, even if your request is for peace on earth, that's going to require change somewhere, right? Anytime we seek a blessing, we either want an improvement in health, happiness, prosperity, friendship, understanding, caring, love, opportunity. It all is going to be part of the never-ending flow of movement. It's all energy. It's all energy. So that's why, as we get toward asking for our blessing, I also want to say that I read every request. I can't answer them all, because sometimes there's just a flood of them coming in all at one time, but I want you to know I read them all. And not only that, I refer back to them during the week, because
I continue my blessings during the week because I want to bless my world too. And I want to bless the world of everyone around me. And then I surrender into prayer and I remember everyone in my prayer. So it isn't just a one-time thing. I remember you and I will remember you as long as I pray. All right, honey. We have wonderful things about to happen. And I just want to open now with my prayer to Yeshua, followed by your prayer to him. The blessing givers and I will join to conduct that special energy that is brought to us by the Holy Spirit to flow from heaven to earth and back again from earth to heaven. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, thank you for being with us. Thank you for honoring us inside of a reality that's not yet perfect. It may be hard. It may be drowning us with doubts or fears. But you come and you walk by our side because you hold us to be important in the heart of our Father. We come knowing that we are loved. And we ask for time just to be with you and experience your love for us, to gain more delight and joy in our love for you. Please hear our prayer. Everyone will be offering their prayers to you. And because you are omnipotent, you can hear them all. So I give them in love and trust to you. And I ask that you also be with everyone who doesn't know that they can pray, who doesn't believe anything can come from it, who has lost faith in anything other than material existence and is running out of it. We ask for you to be with those who may be coming close to the doorways of death. Let them know they will not die. There's only an end of story that is approaching in days ahead. And they may ask whatever they want to ask before that end of story to be fulfilled in your love, to be fulfilled in the miracle that created them. We ask that you be with the hungry. There is so much food on our planet. We ask that you be with those who would willingly share or volunteer their services to distribute this food. We ask forgiveness for all of us, that we may know ourselves in a pure state again and feel clean to be in your presence. For we all worry about that, but let us drop our worries because we know that you accept us as we are. And now we surrender to receive and know that you are with us forever. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me? And congregation, will you begin your prayer and be seated for this one? Afterwards, you will lie down for this one, I want you to be seated so that your feet can touch the ground. Your head may point toward heaven. And your spine may be given rest, that it may flow greater energy than it knew it could hold. Let us begin. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now I want you to lie down. Now we want you to be horizontal on your bed, on a sofa, a mat on the floor, a quilt in the backyard, wherever you can lie down and just have all of your body parts on an equal level. Every part of your body is equal to every other because you were created in the image of God to be a child of God. Even your toenails will be blessed. I wish you all a wonderful week and a lovely experience of summer or wherever you are. May you have a delightful week and discover your blessings as you open up to them. The imprint has been placed. Now, it just has to unfold, which it may be in a few moments. It may be in a day, a week, a month, but it's there. You will activate it. Bye-bye for now, and God bless you.